This is a day of national consecration. And I am certain that on this day, my fellow Americans expect that on my induction into the presidency, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impels. This great nation will endure as it has endured, will revive and will prosper. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
No voice so emphasized the importance of radio as that of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. To most Americans, the voice of the President of the United States was as familiar as a family member's. During his famous fireside chats, FDR came directly into our homes to explain in simple words the policies he was undertaking.
I want to tell you what has been done in the last few days, why it was done, and what the next steps are going to be. The bank holiday, while resulting in many cases in great inconvenience, is affording us the opportunity to supply the currency.
And his bold confidence prepared us for the challenges ahead.
To some generations, much is given. Of other generations, much is expected. This generation of Americans has a rendezvous with destiny.
Radio was fast becoming center stage for all the political leaders of the world. Americans could hear for themselves the rantings of a single-minded Adolf Hitler.
50 Jahre lang hat der Deutsche mit Weltbürgerei geträumt. Das hat er gehabt? Gar nichts. Hat sich die Welt um ihn gekümmert? Das ist ja so lächerlich. Wir lassen mich nicht von diesen Schwätzern irgendwie dumm machen. Das geht nicht. Auch wir verlangen unseren Platz am Leben und an der Lebenskrankheit.
And from Italy was heard the equal bluster of Mussolini.
Se, come quasi sempre, è avvenuto nelle memorabili adunate del popolo fascista, io parlerò a voi di talune questioni di carattere internazionale.
Later, as the situation in Europe worsened, along with the people of Great Britain, we took courage from the invincible voice of Winston Churchill.
Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, all Europe may be freed, and the life of the world may move forward into broad, sunlit upland. But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more protracted by the lights of perverted science. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
Radio was also the national soapbox, an audio platform for voices that dissented from the mainstream. From Louisiana came one such voice, that of Huey Long, the Kingfish, whose slogan was, every man a king.
What is the trouble with this administration of Mr. Roosevelt and of Mr. Johnson, Mr. Farley, Mr. Astor, and all their spoilers and spellbinders? They think that Huey Long is the cause of all their worry. They go gunning for me. But am I the cause of their misery? Why, they're like old Davy Crockett, who went out to hunt a possum. He saw in the gleam of the moonlight that a possum in the top of the tree was going from limb to limb. So he shot, but he missed. He looked again and he saw the possum. He fired a second time and missed again. Soon he discovered that it was not a possum that he saw at all in the top of that tree. It was a louse in his own eyebrow.
In a lighter vein, who can forget the sound of the second most powerful elected official in the country reading the funnies?
Now, children, I know you're all disappointed today that you didn't get the funnies. So gather around. Ah, here's Dick Tracy. Let's see what Dick Tracy is doing. Now, get this picture. Here is Red Wash. The doors of the laundry wagon are open. He's leaning with his back toward the wagon. And he's counting his money. 2, 3, 4,000. Now he's getting into the hundreds. 600, 700, 800. And the picture shows a hand of Breathless. She's got hold of that iron pot. Remember that iron pot she took from the Van Hoosens? And crash! She crashes it on its head. Knocked out. Next picture we see Dick Tracy. You know the fine type of Dick Tracy? He's been a detective so long. And he still has that slender form. Lou Valentine, why do our detectives get fat, I wonder? And say, children, what does it all mean? It means that dirty money never brings any luck.
That was, of course, New York City's Little Flower, Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia, keeping the kids happy via radio during a newspaper strike. In the decade of the 30s, radio news was still coming into its own. World War II would bring it lasting prestige. But there were two events before the war that demonstrated the unequaled human drama of radio reporting. One was pure romance.
This is Windsor Castle. His Royal Highness, Prince Edward.
But at long last, I am able to say a few words of my own. I have never wanted to withhold anything. But until now, it has not been constitutionally possible for me to speak. But you must believe me when I tell you that I have found it impossible to carry the heavy burden of responsibility and to discharge my duties as king as I would wish to do without the help and support of the woman I love. God bless you all. God save the king.
The story of the king who gave up the world's greatest throne for love is still rated as one of the century's top news events. The era's other unforgettable news story was a word picture of tragedy. The on-the-spot reporter who delivered it was Herbert Morrison of WLS in Chicago. The date, May 6, 1937. The place was Lakehurst, New Jersey. The event was supposed to be the landing of the German dirigible, the Hindenburg.
It's practically standing still now. They've dropped ropes out of the nose of the ship. The van had cracked up a little bit. The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from... The first and the... Get it started. It's crashing. Terrible. Oh, my. Get out of the way, please. It's running, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast. And all the folks between the... This is terrible. This is the worst of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's... Four or five hundred feet into the sky, it's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. Oh, the humanity and all the fans.
Oh, the humanity. In the next decade, this anguished cry of Herb Morrison's would echo from one country to the next as global war erupted.